Susan here from Channel 10. Thank you so much for watching. Now, mobile search, I would say, is something that is getting more popular by the day. And a lot of community people and audience members are always asking questions about mobile search. So I recruited two of my favorite mobile search people here at Microsoft. I've got Jay and Suresh. Thank you guys so much for coming on. And let's just have an organic conversation about, you know, mobile browsing. Let's talk a little bit about the history of it. When was the first time we saw mobile browsing? How difficult is it to develop?
I guess I'm not old enough. Maybe I to recollect that. But I think what really triggered mobile search is the recognition people have that they want to be able to search for things wherever they are, not having to go back to a specific location. So I think the time it took off is when people started carrying network connections on these. Operators made it possible, both in the U.S. and outside. As people started getting the ability to connect to the net on the phone, that was the big turning point for the industry. And I would say that happened about 2 to 3 years ago when people started recognizing that there is value in being able to access data services over the phone. So this isn't just about search. This is things like email, things like any website that you wanted to consume, reading news, things like that. Along with those, search clearly became a big value add.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a transition that is happening because nowadays my five-year-old says, okay, daddy, can you look up on the mobile phone? Not on the internet anymore, mobile phone. So that's where the transition, you can see that happening even from the kids all the way to the adults.
Is it becoming more popular than desktop searching?
It's definitely more popular in certain contexts because you don't have a desktop with you all the time. You would need, you know, really big hands to carry that wherever you go. So whether you're in a store, whether you are in a social setting, this is something you can take on in a dance floor or a bar or even a restaurant where you can take a desktop. So it's clearly more popular, but it's also much more constrained in the sense that you cannot consume a very rich content that the way you can, like you can watch a movie on a desktop in an immersive way. You can't do it on this. So you're looking for bits of information in contexts where you can't carry a desktop. So it's definitely popular in certain instances.
So let's talk about, you know, there's a variety of phones available, all with different types of screens, all can handle different types of information. How do you develop for something like a plethora of different types of mobile phones?
This is something we struggle every day, because as you can see, there are many phones available, built on many different technology stacks, even the development of those differ. So we always target looking at, we go through our market study, look at which kind of devices are getting popularity, where the data connections are more pervasive, and we try to target those kind of segments. So if you see, we see that the data connectivity on the Windows Mobile phones and the BlackBerry phones is very pervasive. So we started off providing our mobile search offering on those two device offerings. And to be able to address the other segments, we have created a browser offering, which is m.live.com, which can be accessed to any devices. So in a way, we're giving a richer experience for a device segment and also giving a reach play with a browser offering where it could be catered to multiple device segments.
Okay, so say I'm a phone company, I'm AT&T, and I go, I'm going to create a new phone, and it's going to have a screen that's three times as small as this. As, you know, in charge of this group, what's your day in the life to get your information onto a small screen? Do you contact the company? Is it just all code? How does that even work?
So for the most part, we wait for market studies to tell us what phones are likely to be popular. So we track things like what's the screen size that's becoming very popular. So if you do enough research even on the net, maybe you could do it from your mobile phone, it tells you which screens are selling more. What size is it, 320 by 240, or is it 160 by 180? It gives us the trends in the industry. Are people going towards bigger screens or smaller screens? That gives us some directional sense. Second, we keep talking to our operators very closely. Operators like AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, when we talk to them, they tell us here are the phones that are selling well. So when we combine the data, it gives us some idea of what form factors to optimize for. And it's not just the screen size. We need to worry about things like, does it have a QWERTY keyboard? Does it have a D-pad? Will it have GPS on it, on board on the phone? So all these capabilities, we just optimize for the form factor that is likely to be very popular with users.
I'm curious where you guys think the future of mobile search is going. Is there anything that we can't do? Are there obstacles that we just can't win?
So the future is both bright and hard. That is, these devices are going to be with more and more people and more countries in more and more contexts. More people are going to be carrying these with good network connections. So that's the bright part. So we can do a ton of work to improve people's everyday lives by helping them use these devices. Now, the hard part is clearly there are so many of these devices. There are so many platforms, so many screen sizes, some that have GPS, some that don't have GPS, some that have keyboards, some that don't, some have great microphones, some don't. So the development process is quite tough in that sense. But the future is clearly there are a lot of opportunities, A, in location detection, like the phone automatically recognizing where the user is and what the user is doing.
The point I want to add there that the m.live.com in UK and Japan comes with network location.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So you can directly, it detects your location if you go to m.live.
So we're bringing those capabilities on slowly where every phone in the world at some point will know where it is. And it's a killer ability. The user knows, the person knows where they are, but the phone doesn't. With the phone knowing that, it can do a lot more interesting things. The second is, what's the user doing? Are they in a crowd? Are they in a bar? Are they by themselves when they're using this phone? The phone can actually do a lot to sense that without the user telling it. So if they're in a loud bar, maybe it presents things on the screen rather than trying to tell
just images them. Instead of text.
Exactly, images instead of text, things like that. So a lot of environmental adjustments the phones can make automatically. If the user is going down a freeway at 60 miles an hour, we may present information differently than if they were sitting in their couch.
Yeah, to add a couple of things that come to my mind when you ask that question is the multimodal input, the way we give the input to the device, whether it is voice, whether it's gestures and everything. And the second thing that comes to me is personalization, because this is a personal device, unlike a desktop, because you're carrying it all the time in your pocket or in a purse. So you want it to be personalized, and when you bring it up, it comes up with the feature set that you want to see all the time. So probably that kind of a personalization combined with the location, so it knows that, say, if you're like Suresh told, when you're traveling on a 60 miles per hour, we know, and you can customize what you want to see. Probably those are the kind of things that we always think about is, hey, what can we do for the user?
Do you guys go for it. Yeah.
No, just two more things I would touch on. One is a social context. Today, the phones are very personal devices, but let's say you want to know where all your friends are. I just want to be able to look at all my friends' locations on a map, draw a line around them and say, hey, I want to take these guys out for coffee or a drink of your choice, right? So those are the social scenarios where the phones are now sharing information on, hey, I'm Tina's friend, and I'm making my location available to her. So those kinds of scenarios are very powerful. So customization, personalization, understanding location and context of the user, these are all great things we can innovate a lot on top of, but on a very hard road of innovation.
We talked about it. It's a marathon that just doesn't have a finish line, does it?
Yep.
As long as they keep coming out with more devices, you're going to have to keep developing for them.
Yep, and that's the great part.
Well, I know you guys work very hard. Thank you so much for having the conversation.
Thanks,
we appreciate it. And where can people find more information?
It is m.live.com is where the more and more information keeps coming out. As we innovate. And the second is the live search blogs are a great place to go get information on what we're doing.
And m.live.com, if you go with a particular device, that we know what kind of rich experience do we need to provide for your device, so you don't need to search for it. The client that you download is appropriate for your device.
They're working hard for you people, the mobile device carriers. Go check it out, m.live.com. See you later.